Good afternoon, everyone. All you dear friends. It's like a little family powwow today. So good to be here with you. I hope that you're catching a vision for how delightful you are to the Lord. In David's darkest moment, when he had failed at his worst, he said, "The Lord delights in me." Not that he delighted in his behavior, but he delighted in who he was. That's what's so amazing to me about the ministry of Christ, because Jesus came and revealed the truth about who God is. And so if you want to know who God is, what our Father's like, Jesus is the exact representation. That's what it says. And so all the things he did, and the broken people he reached out to, the people he was not embarrassed to be associated with, like the woman caught in adultery, or Mary Magdalene, or the woman at the well, the publicans, the tax gatherers who are part of, like Matthew, lepers, that's the heart of our Father. And so you wake up every day. I remember telling me a story one time. They were newlyweds, and he said that his wife, he said it drove him crazy because he would wake up from a nap and his wife would be staring at him because she wanted him to be awake, spend time with him. You need to understand that every time you wake up in the morning, the Father's staring at you, just in anticipation of your being alert and oriented to your relationship with him. So these scriptures are ministering to me so much, and so they've spoken to me some things, and so all I'm doing is coming to you and telling you what has blessed me, trusting that if it's blessed me, it'll also be a blessing to you, okay? So sometimes you might go, well, you know, Bishop kind of talked about that a little bit already, but my whole deal is like when I'm in the mornings, when I'm with the Lord, and if I find myself trying to come up with a word for this, then I know I'm missing it. And there's no anointing in that. And what I have to do is just go, Lord, I just want to spend time with you. And you're going to speak some things to me, and you're going to bless me. And then I'm going to hand that over. And if I come over here and I didn't hear a thing that morning, which has never happened in my life, I just have to come and say, it's just good to be here with you because I don't have anything for you. So I understand what I'm doing. And I'm just giving away to you what God's blessing me. And so I was thinking about chapter 3 is such a big chapter. There's so many things in it that seem complicated. It's actually consistent and magnificent. Because we know from the first few verses that Father Aaron read from chapter 2 is all about the fact that God did not entrust himself to man to get himself out of his mess. That the only way for mankind to be delivered from his lostness and brokenness was for God to do it all, for us to entrust it to him. And so this whole story in chapter 3, being born again, all that's just a continuation of this. But he said something that just struck me this morning in my time with him. And I don't know if I have the language to communicate it so that it makes sense to you what's bouncing around in my heart. So it's sort of the word metaphysical means sort of supernatural, not practical. So it's sort of a metaphysical word, but there's just something about it that struck me and blessed me. And it seems like we're backing up. The further we get in John, then we get back up again, John 3, but it's just the way it is. He says to Nicodemus, when again, Nicodemus is basically asking him, or just making a statement. He didn't say he was the Messiah. Again, he just says, there's something about you. We know you've come from God, and you're a teacher. You've come from God, and God's with you because of the miracles and signs and wonders. There's something supernatural about your life. And so Jesus begins to explain to them, because he did all those things as incarnational God. He did all those things as human, as Son of Man. And so he's explaining to them that he's the prototype or the model of the rescued human, of the human that has been entrusted with God, the saved human. He was born from above in his incarnation, in his becoming human. You with me? And so what he says about us, because what he's saying about himself is really amazing to me. He says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one's born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just quickly say this, is that when you're born from above, when you're in union with the heavenly life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You see the kingdom. You don't just discern truth by what the person in front of you says. You don't translate everything by the bad news or what's said on the news or what this group is saying or what that group is saying. You with me? You see the kingdom, and that overrules everything else. The king, the truth of the kingdom, and that's a longer story, but we'll probably talk about that a little bit more Sunday. Nicodemus said to him, how could a man be born when he's old? How can he enter? He can't enter his mother's womb a second time, be born, can he? Then Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Now let me read these couple of more verses again. Do not marvel that I said to you, you have to be born from above, because that's the only hope humanity has. There has to be a heavenly new birth. Our lostness was so bad. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the wind, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is for everyone who's been born of the Spirit. There's just something about you that's inexplicable. But I love what he says. He says in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now, and it's written here, it says, that which is born of flesh, F-L-E-S-H, is flesh, little F-L-E-S-H. But that which is born of spirit, S, big S, then in the next word he said, is spirit. And the way they translate it is little s. Why is that? That's very inconsistent grammatically. Because what he's saying is here is that if you've been born from above, you're born of the Holy Spirit. You are no longer flesh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's all you can say about them is their flesh. What they can do with their wit, with their will, with their humanity. There's nothing supernatural about them. And they have the gravitational pull of sin on them. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. He didn't say become spiritual. He says the spirit. And so the truth is, he says, if you're born of the flesh, you're not going to be born again. We can say, well, you're flesh. So therefore, and we should never get upset with people who are flesh, who act like they're flesh, right? Who only act like what they do out of their fallenness. He said, but those who are born of spirit is spirit. You are spirit, housed in flesh. You still have flesh, but that's no longer your identity. Your identity is the Holy Spirit himself. You say, well, I thought our identity was in Christ. It's the same thing. Your identity is in Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Trinity operates. Let me just show you this. Because we know all the times it says in Scripture about being in Christ. Matter of fact, it says in verse 15, that whoever believes may in him, Jesus, have eternal life, spirit life. Basically, so the life of the Spirit. So whoever's in him, Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, however, you are not in the flesh, but you're now in the Spirit. Oh, well, he said I'm in Christ, but here he says I'm in the Holy Spirit. And in 1 John chapter 2, this one's fun, verse 24. Listen to this. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. So even though our identity is Christ, we're in union with his humanity. He's forever human. But because of that, Jesus is what? He's all, the Father and the Spirit, they're intermingled. So you're also in the Spirit. You're also in the Father. Wow. Think about all that. That's your reality. That's your realm. But because he says, I love what he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Remember what he's been talking about. Like, you can't trust yourself to man. Man's too messed up. Nicodemus comes and says, well, what about your life? It seems so supernatural. Jesus says, well, you got to be born from above. I'm the first example of that. Not someone who is lost, say, but the first example of being born from above. A human in union with God. And then he says, that which is flesh. That's all you can expect from them. But that which is spirit. And therefore, whatever the Holy Spirit's capable of, you're capable of. Therefore, if we use the word metaphysical to mean there's something supernatural about you, Like when people tell ghost stories, they'll say, well, it's a metaphysical thing because it's like kind of supernatural. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know that you are metaphysical. You're supernatural because he says that which is born of spirit is spirit. Doesn't mean that you roll up your sleeves now and try to act like the Holy Spirit or act like Jesus, but it does mean for you to be awakened to understand who you are and your identity so you can start believing and allowing that to happen. I'll give you a little example, then this will end. Have you ever just wakened and not feel good? I don't mean physically, but just because this flesh that we still are living in is wackadoodle. That's a word I like and also Mimi likes. It's just weird. It just does weird things sometimes. You ever notice that? And so sometimes you just don't feel good and there's no real explanation for it. It's just the way it is sometimes. And I remember one time recently I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I just don't feel very good, weird. And though there's that joy deep inside of you, doesn't change, there's a peace. I said, Lord, my emotions are your problem. And he said this, he said, no. He said, your emotions are my privilege. See, and then in childlike trust, you go, yes. And he begins to manifest his strength in your weakness because you're a spirit. That's who you are. Your identity is him. Your identity is the spirit of God. And what he's capable of, you're capable of. There's something very non-wackadoodle about you. There's something supernatural about you. Amen. Don't shortchange yourself by only believing the flesh things about you. There's more to you than that. You are born of the Spirit. It's Spirit. I just think that is so cool. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.